the locals just don't have the, they don't know that you're not supposed to throw stuff in the river, and then when they see Westerners doing beach cleanups like we do, we do beach cleanups there every couple of weeks. It makes them go, why are all the white people picking up all the trash off the beach? And then they realize that, oh, maybe we need to do something about this, and you yourself can spark change as a tourist.
Hello, happy Tuesday. Welcome back, everybody. This is Caitlin.
This is Chris.
And you're listening to Comes With Baggage.
And we're achingly close together right now. I am a 20-minute train ride from you right now, and it's infuriating that we're still not recording a live episode.
I know.
But I'm here in the UK for a friend's wedding and New Year's for a few more days now, so maybe we can make it happen before I jet off to Tbilisi, Georgia.
But, yeah, well, and you're going to Italy in between, which I'm super fucking jealous about, because Italy and Greece are like top two on my bucket list, on my travel bucket list forever, like ever, ever, ever.
Well, we've only got two days.
I lived in Croatia right in between the two of them and never went to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm so jealous.
Well, don't be too jealous. We've just got 2 days in Milan,
We're off to Tbilisi. I want to eat Italian pasta in Italy.
Oh, that's all I'm going to eat.
Like, that's literally all I want. I just want to eat my way through Italy and drink lots of red wine for really cheap.
Well, then I will do that in your honor.
Please send me pictures.
Well, I can do that.
Yeah, so how was the wedding?
Oh, wedding was fun. It was in like a beautiful old manor house in a town called Peterborough. Which was really cute. It was a good old friend of mine, so that was fun to see him having his big day. Drank a lot, talked a lot, played a lot of Pokemon Go, because that's that group. They're a bit nerdy. And that was good, and then we've just been exploring Reading for the last week or so, mostly just playing board games and drinking beer, but ducked over to Oxford, wandered around here a bit to see the old cathedral, the old abbey ruins, and how was Christmas? We haven't spoken since before Christmas.
Yeah, I know. It was, you know what? It was really good. It could be stressful having all of your family in one house for, you know, 2 or 3 days.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because we do, you know, Christmas and Boxing Day. So people are there for both days. But it was actually, and like there was no, so my stepdad is a hardcore, like, against Brexit. And both of his parents voted for Brexit and are still in support of it. And even though he's very close to his parents, last Christmas, that was definitely a conflict. Because they always think that, like, because they, like, respect each other and because they really love each other and they're close, like, that they can have a non-heated discussion, but it always ends up heated.
Yeah.
Because they're both so passionate on both sides. And so, which I understand, like, that frustration. But, like, no, there was no discussion about it this Christmas. I think they've learned their lesson not to bring it up.
Probably smarter, yeah.
Yeah, and the food was all really good. It's always a fun mix between, like, American Christmas side dishes and then all of the British ones. So we always have way too much food that lasts us days, and they're so good. And, yeah, but, I mean, it all gets eaten because we eat it for, like, the next 3 or 4 days. And it all definitely gets consumed, but it was really nice. Yeah, I got a couple rings, and what else? I got Friends Monopoly.
Oh, well, that trumps all else.
Which I've already played 3 times, and it's so much fun. except the first time we played the shortcut way, where you, like, deal out all of the properties. And then you can, so then people just already have them, and then you just start building, so the game doesn't last 5 hours.
Oh, that's kind of smart.
And we can, like, make trades to make monopolies and stuff. But we made the mistake of giving my stepdad a Monopoly, and he literally put, like, well, they're orange couches in the Friends one, but, like, basically they take the place of hotels.
Yeah.
And he put freaking orange couches on all of them right off the bat, and it's the light blue spaces that are right after go. So just as we start the game, all of us get wiped out of all of our money, and the game literally lasted 15 minutes before we were all bankrupt.
That man is a capitalist. I like it.
It was terrible. For someone that is, like, very against Brexit and
quite liberal minded,
yeah, it was like, he certainly doesn't play Monopoly that way.
Maybe he was teaching you a life lesson.
Yeah. Maybe he should have been playing with his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a good Christmas, good New Year's. It was nice to be out in the country. Oh, I went to Bristol on a whim after Christmas,
Oh.
actually, for the weekend, which
Nice.
was lovely because I've been there once before overnight, but was really hungover last Christmas when I was there and didn't really see much. So this time I went for the whole weekend and did lots of wandering around. And Bristol is a beautiful city. If you ever come out to the UK, like I would live there. Like I highly,
Nice.
highly suggest it. And it's only an hour and a half from London, I think. So it's actually even closer from Reading.
Oh,
But
wow. I'll
I
bear that in mind for my next trip here.
absolutely loved it there and would definitely go back. It's beautiful. And you would love it. There was a place called Chance and Counters.
Yeah.
And it's a board game bar.
Ooh.
Board game bar. I've never seen so many board games in my entire life. And then it was the best old fashioned that I had in the entire city. And we
Oh,
went to a
shit.
couple different places because I love an old fashioned. And you just like, you, we didn't know you had to reserve tables there because we just kind of happened upon it. And, but luckily they were like, well, we actually have a table for two. I was there with a friend. We have a table for two for 45 minutes. So it's like not a lot of time.
Yeah.
But if you go, and they like knew right off the bat, they're like, if you go to section A2 or A3, you can find games that don't take too long.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then like they even like came with us and they're like, oh, we recommend this game and this game. They're easy to learn. They're quick to play. And then when they came and brought, so we were like, okay, sure, we'll take them. We went and sat down and then they brought us our cocktails. And then the guy like knew how to play both the games. So he was like explaining the rules like really quickly to us in a way that we could understand without having to read them. And yeah, it was fun, like sitting there. There's like just tables full of people all playing different types of board games. Games I had never seen before, but that looked so much fun.
That sounds like my happy place right
I
there.
know. I was like, I literally could sit here all day just drinking and playing
Shit, I'm
different
going to
games.
Bristol.
Yeah. If anyone ever goes to Bristol, it's called Chance and Counters, and it's on the Christmas steps.
There we go. That's, I'm
Yeah.
going to write that down. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, highly recommend. But yeah, and then I had New Year's, and then I've just been kind of half
Recovering?
working. I wasn't too crazy at New Year's, but just like no one's really back at the office yet. I feel like Monday the 6th is like the first day everyone really comes back because
Right, yeah.
when like New Year's was on a Wednesday,
People take an extra couple
and
days
then
holiday.
yeah, or like work from home, which means nothing really gets done.
Yeah.
So yeah, so officially fully back at work.
Nice.
When this comes out, it will have been yesterday.
Oh, and we'll hope you, we'll be praying for you.
Yeah. What about you? How was Christmas and New Year's?
Christmas was fun. We just did like a pretty low-key thing with my wife's family, so
That was in
aunts.
Seattle, right?
Yeah, in Seattle, so aunts and uncles, dinner, gift exchanges. I got some cool stuff. Amazon Fire Stick so I can watch my shows while I travel. Yeah, new backpacks.
Does that work on your laptop?
No, but I mean we'll have a TV in our apartment when we
Oh
get
yeah,
to
okay. So
Georgia.
then you can just plug
Yeah.
that in and use that. Got
Yeah,
it.
so yeah, got that. Got my dad said he bought me socks, but he actually got me like a box set of 20 really cool colored socks, so that's fun.
Nice.
What else did I get? Nintendo Switch games and a bunch of stuff. All stuff I could fit in my bag, which was nice. 'Cause
Yeah.
we flew to London the day after. Like on Boxing Day, we flew to London and then went straight to the wedding and then we did New Year's here in Reading with board games and beers and champagne and fireworks, which was a lot of fun.
Yep.
It's been a very low key week. Like a lot of board games, home cooking, barely going outside 'cause it's cold and wet. But off to London tomorrow, so when this episode airs, I'll be in London having done some sightseeing, and my wife hasn't been since she was a kid, so excited to show her some of my favorite like touristy spots that she might not remember as from her first trip.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna recommend some things for you guys as well.
Yeah, and hopefully we can catch up. Although it sounds like the one night we're definitely free, you're definitely not free, and then the one night you're definitely free, we're going to the West End to see a show. But we'll see if we can make something work. Otherwise, I'll be back in May. So.
And I'll still be here, hopefully.
I would hope, yeah.
I won't have been deported, hopefully. Well, awesome. Yeah, so what was I gonna say next? I feel like I was gonna say something.
Was it something that could segue smoothly into this week's topic of discussion?
No, but
Okay.
we can.
Let's.
Yeah, so this week so you guys have, well, we have a returning guest, but she is accompanied by her partner, and it's a different topic. So Janice, who was on our super yacht episode, Luxury and Debauchery on the High Seas,
Yar.
she is back this week with her partner Nick. They have They're both kind of eco-entrepreneurs. They live in Bali. They're starting a beautiful yoga studio, eco-friendly retreat and cafe, I think, is like their five-year plan. But nice. They're in the process of getting funding and stuff to start building that. They also have launched a website and Instagram and all of that stuff of Mother Nature, called Mother Nature is a Babe. And it's an online store for people that want to live a more conscious life. They sell loads of really eco-conscious products. They're big travelers as well. So over the last decade or so combined, they've been to about 67 countries and they've lived in 8. So they know what they're talking about when it comes to traveling, and they've done their research when it comes to being eco-conscious. So yeah, we had them on to talk about ecotourism. So enjoy the episode, guys.
Yeah.
Well, hello, guys. How are you this morning? Well, it's evening there, isn't it?
It's evening here, but we are well. How are you guys?
Good. So for those of you listening, you may have already heard from Janice on the podcast before. She was in our 12th episode, Luxury and Debauchery on the High Seas, where she talked about working on super yachts, and she was our second most popular episode.
Whoa!
And our most popular guest episode. So if you missed it, you should go back and listen.
Thank you. Yay. Thanks, everyone.
So Janice today is joined by her boyfriend, Nick.
What's up?
Who she has also worked on super yachts, but you guys met traveling. You tell your story. I don't have to tell it.
Well, we met in Canada 8 years ago, working during a ski season in Whistler. And we've just been traveling and working together since then, basically.
Yeah, I moved to Canada after I lived in the UK for a few years. That's where I met you, Caitlin. And then, met the love of my life, who's sitting next to me now.
Aww. That's adorable. I love hearing traveling couples meeting stories, because they've always got the weirdest locations to start and where they started from. And, like, I met my wife in a gay bar in Thailand, and I just think that's such a cool thing to tell people. Neither of us knew it was a gay bar when we went in. So.
Sure. likely story.
Yeah, I feel like lots of people meet in Whistler, though, don't they? Lots of Australians. Where'd you meet, Whistler?
Yeah, travel halfway around the world.
It's kind of common
to meet someone from Australia.
Yeah, perfect, serendipitous.
Yeah, that happens a lot here too, because I live with an Aussie guy from Tasmania, and a lot of his friends here are Australian as well, but they don't want to date Australians.
Yeah.
Like, they've dated a lot of British people while they've lived here. And then we were talking about it the other day, and now both of them have ended up with Aussie girls that they met at work.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't like dating Australians. And I was like, I know, that's how I feel about Americans. And I swear to God, if I end up with an American, I'm going to be pissed.
You're totally going to marry and settle down in the Midwest.
No.
Yeah.
Hell no. So thanks guys for joining today. You're talking to us, or we're all going to discuss, I guess, the topic of ecotourism.
Yeah.
Which, considering all of the things that are going on in the world right now, I think it's a very important topic to talk about. And also with it being the new year, and I've seen a lot of people and heard of a lot of people wanting to make changes for the new year, to try to be more eco-conscious and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's a good topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So, can you guys briefly explain to us... Well, also, like, we should kind of say why we've had you guys on as our guests this topic.
Yeah. establish your authority before we...
Yeah.
Jump in.
You want to see how... We got some credentials for you.
Yeah, let's
yeah, go for it.
Whip them out.
Well, we're both the founders of Mother Nature is a Babe, which is an online eco-friendly store that sells, sustainable goods. And we donate some of our profits back to environmental causes. Something we're super passionate about is
climate sustainability
and trying to make all the wrongs of the past right again.
And you guys have spent a lot of time and energy researching the topic of sustainability for your website. And Yeah. For obviously your own interests and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. We source the majority of our products from Bali, which is where we live at the moment. And one of the toughest things we found is all of the suppliers like to say that they're eco-friendly, but then when we go out and visit where it's all being made and double check that they're all doing the right thing, often we find that they're not. So we've actually had to put shitloads of time and effort into researching to make sure that we and our suppliers are doing the right thing when it comes to environmental friendly practices and sustainability.
So in cases like that, what is it you're looking for? Like, what qualifies someone as eco-friendly for those who might not know?
Well, we've kind of got our own set of guidelines. Mm-hmm. One being that obviously they need to be not dumping, you know, stuff into the local rivers and mm-hmm. like getting rid of all their waste properly, treating their workers fairly and paying them a proper living wage. So we usually check in with the local workers to make sure that's happening.
Making sure no single-use plastics are used in the
process. Yeah, so we won't work with people if they deliver any of our products wrapped in plastic and stuff. We refuse to accept the orders and things like that.
And also the materials that they're using for our own products.
Yeah, so a lot of our products are bamboo, so we need to then check that where they're getting their bamboo from is coming from a sustainable plantation, and lots of just things that when we started doing this, we didn't realize were going to take up so much time and energy.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it, you want to do it right. So I respect that you're like doing that due diligence there.
I think in this like day and age, you have to do that because as the beauty of social media is really good for getting movement started, but if you do one thing wrong, you can almost also be crucified.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we try and mitigate that.
And
as
also
well.
Because there's a lot of greenwashing out there. There's a lot of people saying, oh, we do this or we do that, or you know, something's degradable, or you know, they wrap something in green and be like, yeah, it's good because it's green. But yeah, there's lots of greenwashing that happens.
I feel like it's like, because there's just so many like buzzwords that people can use. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's really easy to sell something just by using certain buzzwords or certain like marketing tactics. Yeah. But like actually you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure that this is actually
very misleading. Misleading.
We literally encountered that here in the UK just the other day. So I'm staying with a friend who is a Greens candidate for Reading. So he's very passionate about sustainability.
Yeah.
And he had a loaf of bread that says it's recyclable on the packaging. And he's like, yeah, so that's why I get this bread. But then he looked and he's like, there's no way that this is recyclable because most places won't have the facilities to actually recycle it. Yeah. So it's like, he said like he read the small print. It's like, you have to take it to these specific major centers that are only in like four cities. And he's like, that's so misleading because it's technically recyclable, but it's not actually feasible for any like average person to get it recycled. So they're going to put that in their recycling. It'll take the whole box and it'll just end up in the landfill.
Yeah, exactly. Same with compostable. Sometimes you have to look for the home compostable symbol instead of just compostable because there's only sometimes it has to go to a commercial compost. And there's not many of them.
Yeah, if you put it in your green bin, it's not going to go there.
Yeah.
Wow. There's all these little things that, you know, I mean, eco-friendly is cool at the moment, so all the big companies are trying to like jump on board, but
you mentioned paying like that you wanted to make sure people paid a living wage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't associate that element with sustainability, which is it's so important, you know, like it's not just being green in the recycling and natural sense, it's also being sustainable for the local people, which is really important.
Definitely, especially as well in the fast fashion industry.
Yeah.
There's lots of, factory.
There's a lot of cool documentaries that we've watched about fast fashion and, you know, like things being made in Bangladesh and conditions just being shocking and people getting paid $1
a
day.
Just a few, like maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
A few people, yeah.
So we've...
Oh, geez.
Yeah, there was a story here that I just read a couple days ago in the UK where this family had bought like a pack of Tesco Christmas cards.
Mm. Yeah.
And within, while this like little like 6-year-old girl was like filling out these Christmas cards, in one of the cards was a note from the Chinese workers pleading for help and to call like the human service, like human,
like Amnesty International or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I guess Tesco ended up like shutting down the factory for reviews, saying that they like passed all of their audits and things like that. And like, but obviously there's some shady shit
all the time. Yeah. People being paid off, and like even in Indo where we are, not to get into it too much, but like there's a lot of bribery and things that we've seen firsthand. So yeah, the Asian countries, especially, I think, it's quite, you've really got to do your homework.
It's quite ingrained in the culture there as well, that sort of the money for favors. I can't speak to everywhere, but China and Korea, it's a big part of getting things done is, I don't think they'd like to call it bribery, but it's bribery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. We've seen it firsthand, so.
So kind of steering back to the main topic of conversation, I guess. Can you guys, like, briefly explain, kind of in layman's terms, what ecotourism is or what constitutes ecotourism?
Yeah, so I suppose ecotourism is being conscious of every decision that you make while traveling or while traveling. So it's okay to be eco-friendly, I suppose, while you're at home, but it doesn't stop there. You have to think about every decision that you make and think about how it's going to impact the environment or how you could do it a little bit better. And
yeah, just because you're going on holiday doesn't mean that what you were doing at home just stops, you know. And then when you do go to another country or something, you've got to see how what you're doing is affecting the locals and making conscious decisions that align with, just looking after where you're traveling as well, you know.
Sure. That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, very succinctly done.
And then, so like, what are some ways that, like, I guess some examples of, like, in the past, like, obviously everyone wants to be a lot more eco-conscious and eco-friendly and things like that. So, like, what are the ways that in tourism in the past has affected, like, why are these changes coming around now? Like, what have been some issues and some causes of tourism that have, like, kind of caused people to be like, hey, we need to change our behavior?
I think there's definitely, well, not just from tourism, but I think there's a worldwide movement. People are realizing that we do impact the environment, like as humans, and usually it's in a negative way. So when people decide, and then when you look at like major tourism landmarks and things like that, when you get a mass of people going somewhere, especially to like festivals or big events like that, there's always, you know, you see the aftermath is like litter on the ground,
like a sea of garbage.
What's the festival? Glastonbury. I went to Glastonbury one year and it was unbelievable. Like there was like raw sewage and
oh god,
yeah, like the toilets are broken and
And I'm sure you've encountered the like snorkeling in Southeast Asia where just like, it's like it's bleached reef because people have been stepping on it and kicking it, and then it's just tangled with garbage like that people have just tossed into the ocean or off the side of their boat, and it's so depressing to see. Like it's such a beautiful part of the world, and it's just there hasn't been a lot of stewardship taken, which is just immensely damaging not only to the environment but to that area's long term ability to sustain tourism, which is probably what keeps them going.
Yeah.
Definitely, and sometimes it's a cultural thing as well. Like you were saying, like how can we make it better? Sometimes, like especially in Bali, I find the locals just don't have they don't know that you're not supposed to throw stuff in the river, and then when they see Westerners doing beach cleanups like we do, we do beach cleanups there every couple of weeks. It makes them go, why are all the white people picking up all the trash off the beach? And then they realize that, oh, maybe we need to do something about this. And you yourself can spark change as a tourist by getting involved in these sorts of things as well.
Sometimes it's just the education is not getting to, I suppose, all corners of the globe in terms of pollution and plastics and stuff like that.
Climate change.
Yeah, people just don't know.
Yeah, and so it's not like you can really blame people either sometimes.
Yeah,
the best way is not to spread the word with
negativity.
Blaming and shaming kind of people. Yeah, it's best to lead by example. And
Yeah,
I 100% agree with that, because I know that like there's people that I follow on Instagram, like between probably the last 6 months, and I'll say definitely a lot of the stuff that you guys share on your Instagram is very like eye-opening and educational, and I've really enjoyed like following along like learning from it. Yeah. But like I've really been trying to make conscious efforts and changing things, and I'm not perfect, but like obviously, you know, what's the there's a quote that came out recently, like a million people making imperfect changes can still make a change.
Definitely.
Nice, like that.
No one is ever going to get to the zero in zero waste.
Yeah,
so
like,
we're not perfect.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody's perfect. We're not perfect. But if everyone like actually like tries a bit harder, then it definitely makes a difference, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I have other people that I know or that I follow who like on one, I feel like, and that's kind of the thing that like kind of pisses people off, is because like I have a couple friends who are like hardcore vegan, which I respect and everything. But then they're also very like, in what they share is very, it's not just like educational and like eye opening and like kind of a shock to the system, some of the things they post, but it's more comes off like judgy and like shaming.
Yeah, that's
if
not
cool. Oh, yeah. Don't. Like if you're not vegan, then you're a terrible person, sort of.
Yeah.
Thing. I mean, that's where that whole stereotype comes from, you know, like, how do you know if someone's vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not productive to be condescending or aggressive or abrasive in getting your message across. Like, that's the reason that a lot of Republicans in the US don't like Democrats, because they come across as like, we know better than you and you're an idiot for not agreeing.
Yeah.
And that's counterproductive. People will like actively rebel against that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't respond well to if you instantly just criticize them.
Very few people.
Well, but then also it's like those same people that like you'll see doing other things that are very much not aligned with those kind of like eco-friendly sort of.
Yeah.
And I know you can like, I'm like not expecting people to be perfect as well, but I'm like, if you're going to be so judgmental and so shameful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like to me, because I'm not like doing everything in the world like to be eco-friendly yet, like
then you can't judge others.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I definitely don't get that from you guys. Like I find your guys' stuff very educational and very interesting.
Aww,
and
thank
like
you.
more of the like, hey, this is all the shit. Not you guys don't post like, hey, this is everything you guys are doing wrong. You just post, hey, here's how you can do
here's
better.
Some tips.
It's inspirational.
Really nice.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I think we still sometimes cop a bit of flack from people. They're like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. And my favorite response is, like, we're not perfect. And I think like I saw a quote.
We don't expect you to be.
I saw a quote the other day. It was like, the guy that invented the light bulb probably did it by candlelight, you know, like, we're trying to improve, but you know, you gotta do it your own way.
Well, and that should be the end goal in general, though, is just to
be better,
improve, not to be perfect. Because then you're gonna kill yourself. And especially if you're just like constantly, like, you'd be really hard on yourself if you're stressed, which is not a way to live either.
Have you had boomer, like that boomer mindset of people being like, if you care so much about the environment, why do you travel so much? Everyone, like, you know, like planes are terrible for carbon and
do you
get any of that? Like, do you get that? It's such an annoying bit of pushback.
Definitely.
Because we do travel a lot.
We travel quite frequently, and
you probably own smartphones and all these things. It's such a stupid, like, reductionist mindset to be like, if you're not doing 100% of the things to fix the problem, then you basically, all the things you are doing are irrelevant because you've not gone the full, but then the people saying it are usually ones who are doing absolutely
even
nothing.
Worse.
Yeah.
Like poor Greta Thunberg, like every second comment about
her is just,
when it's not accusing her of being brainwashed or saying horrible stuff about her that no one should say to a child. It's basically saying, well, she has a phone and she took a plane last week. And
yeah,
it's like, geez, like baby steps, people.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, because like you guys travel a lot. We travel a lot. I mean, I'm assuming the people that are listening to this podcast travel a lot. And so like, what are ways, like as travelers, what are steps to take as far as like when it comes to even like flying or trains or like any sort of travel, like more like transportation wise?
Yeah, of course. We
like what are some ways to be more eco-conscious and eco-friendly?
So basically I just think about, I like to say eco-conscious in that like you're conscious in every single decision that you make. So everything,
mm-hmm.
like how can I do this better? Is there a better way to do this? So a lot of research can go into that. And I actually just put out a blog about more eco-friendly flying tips.
We just posted it 3 days ago on our website.
We'll make sure we include that.
That's at our webpage, mothernatureisababe.com, and we've just got a blog link there.
We'll include a link in the description.
Definitely.
No worries.
So basically, like, some of the tips are, like, first of all, consider where you're traveling. Do you have to travel there? You know, is it for work or for holidays or to see family? Like, and then consider how can you get there? Do you need to fly or can you get a train or a bus or can you carpool or, you know, can you have a staycation and go down the road and have a camping trip? Or, and then if you do need to fly, then look at airlines that have good environmental policies, like can you carbon offset, things like can you take your own water bottle, can you take your own cutlery and your own snacks.
There's so much plastic waste when you're on an airplane, so if you're able to refuse like the cutlery sets and all that stuff, then that's a little win.
Then if it's a long haul flight, then try not to have not too many layovers. Try to go as directly as possible. Can you order a vegan or a vegetarian meal if you want to? Because that would be, you know, a little bit more helpful.
When you're at the destination, like just making some conscious decisions on how you're getting around, like
are you able to explore that city by walking around
or a bicycle if you're in Amsterdam?
So just basically,
I mean, there's a lot of major cities around the world in general now that even have those like rental bikes.
You
can just pick up anywhere on every corner.
Yeah, the little electric scooters. I was just in Oxford
yesterday and they had them.
And there's so many cities, especially in Europe, that I've done the walking tours on. Which are free as well, if you find the right ones, and that's fun as well because you see some things that you wouldn't see if you're on one of those hop off buses and things like that.
Yeah, and you know it's better for you, better exercise.
Yeah, it keeps that beer gut down when you're on a holiday.
I need to do some walking tours after my time here in Britain. I've been way too much beer and way too much sitting around playing board games.
Oh, it's Christmas, man. So
I know exactly. Yeah. That's what Christmas is for.
Actually, one of my resolutions this year, my New Year's resolutions, has been to offset my emissions whenever I do fly.
Yeah.
Because it's great. I mean, yes, it's a little, it's more money, but it's just money.
It's a couple of dollars, like.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not.
If the flight was that much more expensive, then you wouldn't blink. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think actually, long term, I think it'd be great if more airlines just built it in as a standard.
Definitely.
Thing that they just did, rather than being like, here's $2, we'll put the onus on you to click a box. We'll just be like, the flights are all going up by $10, and we're going to be the ones who make that decision. I think that's like, it shouldn't be the consumer's responsibility to figure that out for them.
And there's also companies now where you can donate money so that they can carbon offset whatever you have, say you've been driving all year and you want to carbon offset that, then you can donate them money and they will plant trees for you.
We actually use it.
Really cool.
We actually use it with our website, so all the carbon, we work out how much we're carbon polluting, I guess, by shipping things and by flying and checking all this and that out. I can't remember the name of the website, but
I was about to ask you so we can share.
I'll pull it out. But what I was trying to say was, if you're flying with an airline that doesn't carbon offset or doesn't give you the option, you can go to this website and pay like
$2
or $3 and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Actually, that's a really good idea. I wanna look into that.
Yeah, yeah. And then yeah, on this website you can, yeah, like Janice was saying, work out how far you think you drive every year and how, like, yeah, what this and that. There's all these little options where you click this and that and whatever, and it, then at the end it says you should donate like $4, $5, or $6, and that will offset you for all your carbon emissions this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's called Carbon Neutral Charitable Fund. And that's for in Australia, and it's I've got its Instagram here. It's CNCFAUS. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. I've got it. There we go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they like yeah. If you can't work it out, just go to the website.
That's really cool. Like, yeah, I didn't even know that was an option for people, but that is a really simple way that people can look at what they do over the course of a year and give back a little bit without having to necessarily jump through a lot of hoops that they might not be comfortable with.
Yeah, and I really like that one as well because they plant Australian native trees. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that an Australian company?
Yes, that is, yeah.
Yeah, but there are other, there's a few other like worldwide ones as well. Yeah. Which are,
yeah, I just see here the UK has one called carbonfootprint.com that does plantings. And so I'm assuming that there'll be a US one as well out there.
Yeah.
So we'll do some research for everyone and then we'll include that in the links. And that way you don't have to go practicing your Google foo.
And so, like, as like if you're, because I know all of us, well, I know that you two especially, and I mean, I've traveled around Europe and lived around different places in Europe, and I know that, Chris, you've done a lot of Asia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, when you're backpacking, like, what are, for people that are backpacking or doing, like, bigger long-term trips around somewhere, like, what are even just, like, the little things that we can do? Like, I know that you mentioned, like, you know, your own water bottles and, like, your own cutlery and things like that. And, yes, those are things that people can travel specific. So...
Yeah, so more travel specific. I hate when people say Pacific instead of specific. I can't believe I just did that. Okay, so more travel specific, I suppose, on like a personal level would be like thinking local. So eating local, purchasing souvenirs local, doing tours local, and staying local, so that you're contributing to the local economy.
Yeah, don't go to McDonald's. Or
instead of giving your money to a big company, like a worldwide corporation, you know, stay in a guest house instead of a big hotel, or eat at the local restaurant with the local food instead of maybe getting the creature comfort of something that's what you would eat at home, or
and it's always cheaper if you do the local stuff definitely. As well.
Yeah. That would be my tip. Think global, act local.
Nice.
And then like, are there different, like, I know that you said earlier, when you're like making the decision to travel somewhere, like, do you have to go there? Is it like a eco-conscious destination? Like, what is that entail, like, how does someone determine whether it's a good place for you to travel to?
So there's lots of things to take into consideration, and you've kind of got to weigh up, I suppose, how much you want to go to a destination, because otherwise it could be that you don't end up going to the destination that you want to go to. So there's all things, like, you could go somewhere closer to where you live, that maybe doesn't have like somewhere eco-friendly to stay, but at least you're gone somewhere closer. Mm-hmm. Or if you travel somewhere further away, but maybe you stay at an eco lodge, mm-hmm. or something, or you know, a tree house or on a farm, or you go camping or something like that. So
so would you say that, like, I know a lot of people, because this is like kind of a big movement that's been happening, but like staying in hostels and hotels and things like that, unless they're kind of more conscious, aren't exactly great choices?
I'd say look at their policies and things, like, do they use single-use plastics in the bathrooms and things like that, or is it a big company, or is it owned by locals, and look at the other people that are staying there. You know, sometimes hostels and backpackers can be really good because, you know, it's
cheap.
Well, yeah, it's cheap, and I suppose there's so many people crammed in a spot, in a small space.
Less of a footprint, but
yeah.
But I got I will put my hand up and say when I was 21 and backpacking, I had no clue about like saving the world.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get drunk and meet girls. So
yeah, like we both started backpacking.
And
like,
as someone that met you when you were much younger,
when we
I know this to be true.
when we started backpacking, it was both 10 years ago. We both didn't know each other like a decade ago. We were a lot younger, and we didn't, you know. Climate change was an issue then, but definitely not as much as what it is
now.
And yeah, we just wanted to go out and see the world and meet other people that were like us, and you didn't really think about it that much.
But now there's more information out there that you can and probably should make some better choices than I made back in the day.
And then, so like when you're all of us are travelers, and like when we're traveling or when other people listen to this are traveling, how can they help promote sustainable tourism?
I'd say by having conversations with other like-minded people, which is like where hostels and backpackers kind of come in handy, by leading by example. Definitely. And then also, I suppose, spreading the word, I suppose, sharing what you do on Instagram or on Facebook, or, you know, I'm volunteering here, or I'm staying at this tree house that's on a farm, or...
Yeah, that's kind of getting trendy as well. I'm finding that, like, people like to go and stay somewhere, like on a farm or in a forest or whatever, and help plant trees. And, you know, I stayed here for a month and volunteered and did this and did that, and that's, you had a holiday, but you helped the local community do whatever, which is, that's also kind of cool and trendy now as well.
Yeah.
And getting the word out there is so important, because it's not just, like, you choosing to stay in a homestay or an eco resort is great in and of itself. Like, you're giving them your business, but by boycotting those big chains, they're not going to notice that loss so much. But the other people will definitely notice if they get even one extra person because you've been there.
Yeah, definitely. We love helping small business. Like, we love watching
makes
them.
A difference.
Yeah.
It makes, you can see it to them. Like, when you share, you know, when you like Instagram or mention an independent brand who's trying to make a difference, they're so excited because it's their livelihood and also something they're passionate about.
Yeah.
Whereas when you say, I'm not going to stay at the Hilton, or I'm never flying China Eastern Airlines again, they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to feel that at all unless you somehow manage to convince a million people to stop doing it.
Definitely.
So I think that's where positivity wins out over negativity every time. Like, one positive review of an eco resort can make a world of difference versus 10 negative reviews of a soulless chain won't make a lick of difference.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
I was going to mention, like, even when you were just talking about small, I don't want to call them, I mean, like, acts of rebellion, I guess, whatever, but
that's
like,
because
I have stick followed it to the your man. Instagram for a while now, and I love, like, because I know that you had said something, I think you were on a plane or something, and you were talking about refusing the single-use plastics that come with the food and stuff like that. And like, yeah, maybe one person doing that isn't going to really make that much of a difference. But like if a lot of people start doing that.
Yeah.
And when you do that, like, the people sitting next to you that you don't know are usually kind of go, what?
Notice.
Why are you doing that? Yeah. And then you pull out our sustainable cutlery sets that we sell. And they're like, what's that? And we're like, yeah, you should buy one.
Yeah. Well, and then also the flight attendants that work for that airline, like, the more people that are doing it and handing it back to them, like, obviously they can go, like, they notice a difference every day working here, and then they can say, like,
and then it gets passed on.
Well, I'm happy to shamelessly plug Turkish Airlines, who I flew with last week, because they actually serve all of their meals with bamboo cutlery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do they really?
That's huge.
So
that's amazing.
I went to pull out my set and I was like, actually, cool. They've already... and then I was like, why don't more airlines do this?
That's a great idea. Like I've noticed a lot more brands in Asia are using either bamboo or grass or even just metal drinking straws.
Yeah.
And even that's like a nice positive change to see. Like 5 years ago, you would never have seen that.
Yeah, I think Air New Zealand has trialed a flight with zero single-use plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think big corporations are kind of ticking on. I think I also saw a stat that was like either Emirates or Etihad, like 40% of their meals had gone, or vegan meals had risen by 40% or something. And I was like, oh, wow.
Change is happening. It's just, it'd be nice if all of the major companies just got on board straight away.
Of course.
Baby steps.
Steps.
Definitely. Unfortunately, I know. So, like, your guys' bamboo cutlery set was on my Christmas
list. Yeah.
But I didn't get yours, but I did get purchased a bamboo
cutlery set. Oh, nice. That's cool.
I do have one.
Yeah. Awesome.
So I've carried around in my tote bag with me, and I actually haven't eaten out, like,
since getting it.
Since Christmas, so I haven't got the chance to use it yet.
If you don't have to, you're not having to refuse plastic, so that's cool.
I guess, this is probably going to be controversial. Are there any destinations right now in the world that you just sort of have to almost rule out because they're not even doing the minimum to meet it? Or is every country and every destination at least starting to come around, do you think?
There's lots of countries, I think, that aren't...
Doing their part,
yeah. I think... I don't know if I want to mention...
I can throw out Australia is not doing enough.
Definitely.
Our country's on fire right now, and our Prime Minister's talking about giving people the right to call gay people.
He's something else.
He's the worst. And if you're listening, Scott Morrison, I hate you, but you're not.
Yeah. You're an idiot. You are an idiot. We could do a whole nother podcast and I could get super political.
Oh, let's, please.
there's people that might be in America that are listening, the Amazon and the California fires were about 2 million acres that got burnt. Australia's currently on fire and we've just lost 12 million acres and it's still burning. So,
Is it 500 million animals?
Yeah.
And have lost their lives.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. There's fires
all over the country, and our Prime Minister just doesn't have a clue.
Yeah, just doesn't want to accept that climate change is
real.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing we can just move to New Zealand as Australians. Just be like, we're from New Zealand. They're doing a much better job than we are.
Mm. Yeah.
We were saying it would be good if we could just become the Western Island of New Zealand and take over their Prime Minister and government.
That would be great.
Jacinda, if you're listening, come and take us over.
Yeah.
please, with your no Air Force and no Navy.
Yeah.
We'll throw down our weapons.
Yeah.
I will throw out a destination I'm not super keen on because of how they treat animals. I'm not a big fan of South Africa because I work in the safari industry and South Africa still does a lot of game hunting as like a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
So that's a destination I'm not super comfortable recommending and I have no interest in visiting until they sort of pick up their, pick their shit up.
Yep.
That's a good one.
I'm trying to think if there's others.
There's another one that's not really environmental stuff, but I would definitely tell people not to go to Brunei just because of all that stuff that's going on with them.
On one of your recent podcasts, I actually asked you guys where you would never travel to. And you both kind of said, I don't want to say never right now, but the place that I would never travel to, I actually already have traveled to.
But you'd never travel. Oh, well. You'd never travel there because you've seen.
Yeah, so I had to work. I had to work in Saudi Arabia for a few months, and I would never travel there as a tourist. The human rights and the country, the state of the country, and
the pollution.
And
wow.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever want to travel there. No.
Wow.
That's probably a fair assessment. Saudi Arabia's got a pretty awful reputation around the world for all manner of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not high on my list. I'm similar with Qatar. I have no interest in going there in general, but with the way they're developing for the World Cup and the number of deaths that have been occurring in building stadiums in 50-60 degree heat.
Yeah.
I have no interest in ever supporting that.
Isn't it something like more people will have died building the stadium that will be able to sit in the stadium?
I don't know.
Oh, God, that would not surprise me. Yeah. And a lot of them are being held hostage, essentially, because they are Yeah. They confiscate their passports as part of their contract.
Yeah, we would even see it in UAE when we were there. Just truckloads of people from India or Bangladesh or Pakistan being...
Philippines too.
Big time. Taking their passports off them, being made to live in these really horrible accommodation and having to work ridiculous hours. We actually had this is going back to our yachting history, had one of the employees passed away, and it probably wasn't solely to do with overwork, but it definitely probably played a part in it. Yeah, where he had a heart attack. So
that was one of the drivers.
Jeez, that's with your background, like having worked on these luxury yachts, they're obviously not something that people would consider
eco-friendly. No,
like, definitely not.
Like, when I mentioned to my friend who's a Greens candidate that we were speaking to you about eco travel, I mentioned the original episode, and he's like, "What, they have luxury yachts and they're eco-friendly?" And I'm like, "Well, I think they've learned from the mistakes of the luxury yachts.
We don't own them, I had an engineer say to me once, a chief engineer, I was trying to implement something or change something to be more environmentally friendly, and he was like, "Well, you're in the wrong industry if you want to be environmentally friendly," kind of thing. And I was like, "Well, you kind of need environmentally friendly people in any industry to be able to change."
I remember asking you on that episode of like, you know, I know that you're very eco-conscious, yet you do this. Like, what do you do? And you said that like you try to implement a lot of stuff on your boat that you have control over.
Definitely.
To make the boats more eco-friendly.
And there is more of us in the industry. Like, there's a girl I follow called The Green Stew who has won like some awards on, also implementing things on the yachts that she works on.
And when it comes... the whole reason we launched the store is because we were actually working on the boat sailing through the Med, and like there was a whale that we'd seen that was stuck in a big fishing net, and that kind of, I think maybe that sparked something inside of us. Luckily the whale was saved because Janice managed to get hold of the Coast Guard and all that sort of stuff. But
oh, nice, way to go.
Yeah, just working on the boats, maybe that's sparked something inside us to do better.
You can't fault someone who did something wrong in the past for trying to fix that. Like, that's just, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Well, and saying like, well, you're in the wrong industry, like, don't even try, like, then that industry's never going to change or it'll always get worse. But if you have more and more people working in that industry that are trying to make it more eco-conscious, then change can eventually happen. And maybe it won't be such a bad industry or so unsustainable or... not eco-friendly. So I did, like, when I was reading up on some things before doing this episode, I did come across an article that was talking about the disadvantages of ecotourism. When it comes to traveling to eco-friendly destinations of places that are, like, very beautiful and, like, natural beauty, like undeveloped land and things like that. And, like, so how can... What are some... disadvantages of ecotourism?
Well, I suppose
if not done correctly or if not done consciously.
Well, I mean, some of the most pristine parts of the world and the untouched parts, you kind of want to leave untouched, right? So if you know those places, just don't tell your friends about them.
Don't post them on Instagram.
That can be the death knell for a places.
Because then places just get overrun and over commercialized and so that's a disadvantage.
And then it comes back to that education element, where locals will see that tourism is a promising thing for them and they want to capitalize on that, but they might not know the most sustainable way to do it, and that's when you can get really counterproductive, you know, construction and development that actually ends up hindering or even destroying the area they're trying to profit from.
And then I was thinking of another disadvantage was, like, if you were taking it quite personally and, like, taking everything on board, another disadvantage would be that you just didn't get to see the destinations that you wanted to because you couldn't bring yourself, I suppose, to...
go there.
To go there. Yeah, because it wasn't... because it's not... You know, I use the Maldives as an example because it's quite hard to get there from pretty much anywhere in the world. And then to find, like, a hotel that wasn't a chain there and that was had eco-friendly practices. Like, maybe you just decide, okay, I'm going to go to somewhere like Bali or somewhere that's closer, and maybe I can find an eco-stay or a guest house or something, and it's cheaper and just as beautiful.
Yeah. I remember from when I, like, my time in Mexico, like, Tulum has become, like, Tulum is an absolute beautiful destination, but a bunch of, quote, like, eco-friendly, like, yoga retreat sort of getaway things, you know, blew up there.
Yeah.
And it just became, like, this, it became, like, the Instagram, like, destination to be at for a couple years.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, people flock and flock and flock to it. And now, like, there's, and I mentioned this on our episode about over-tourism and the effects, like, there's a lot of, like, Brooklynites and stuff that have relocated to open up art studios and open up cafes and stuff like that. And, like, it ends up pushing out the locals and the residents that have lived there their whole life because they can no longer afford to even stay in the town anymore. So even going to enjoy a beautiful place, and even if it is claiming to be eco-friendly and, you know, everyone's a yogi and everyone's there for retreats and things like that, like, it may not exactly be the right idea for you to go there, at least not when it's in its, like, peak. Like, yes, go there and, you know, eat local, shop local, support local people, but at the same time, don't go when it's, like, peak season.
Another thing is
the highest time to go.
Another thing is going to countries or destinations that have just experienced, or maybe not just experienced, but in the last few years experienced some kind of maybe like a hurricane or
disaster.
Some kind of natural disaster, and helping out these places that used to be thriving that are now.
For instance, Nepal, when they had that huge earthquake, we know some people that went straight out there, I guess, for a holiday, but to help, which...
And to boost their economy.
Yeah.
And if you can't commit the time or you don't have the resources to maybe go over and help immediately after a disaster, even visiting a year later and helping inject some money back into the local economy can be a positive step.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, going like a year or two after, somewhere where maybe they're back on their feet a little bit, but still haven't regained, you know, where they were at.
Especially in places
where...
Well,
it's a lot to come back from when there's a natural disaster. It takes so much time and money to rebuild or something like that.
And some places, tourism is literally all they have. So, you know, they've lost not only all the lives and the resources and the infrastructure, but they also lose that valuable source of income for however long it takes for them to recover. And sometimes they never do, you know, sometimes a place gets a reputation for being dangerous that's beyond their control, and people sort of, the crowds stay away, and it's up to more, maybe not adventurous, but more, educated travelers to sort of say, look, it's safe, I'm going to go back, and then that might encourage other people to start coming back as well.
And sometimes also savvy, because that's when prices are cheaper as well, you know, maybe you still get the same beautiful beach but at half the price because
not so many people.
And that's actually a benefit as well, there's not as many people there.
It's like you get to be a good person and have a good holiday.
I know, like, when you mentioned that, Ellie, like, going back and helping after natural disasters and things like that, like, I remember, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie, the documentary, A Map for Saturday?
Oh, maybe.
It's one of my favorite documentaries that I've seen a million times, and it's a documentary about backpacking.
It
came out soon after the tsunami that happened in Thailand. It's this guy that follows, like, he is backpacking around the world, but he ends up going and he's, like, interviewing backpackers about the life of what it's like to be a long-term backpacker and all that stuff and the things that you go through. But he ends up ending up in Thailand, and it was soon after the tsunami, and he went to the beach and, like, the island or whatever that got hit the worst to go see the damage. And they got off the boat, and he's, like, literally... it's all backpackers getting off the boat and literally just tossing their backpacks to the side and just immediately digging in and helping, because they get off and they see other people helping. And it just became like that whole beach section got rebuilt because of the backpacker community. We're willing to help because the people that were in charge, like the actual
Government.
Government, thank you. The actual government weren't willing to do anything because they wanted to build hotels there. Mm. So they didn't want to help rebuild the actual people that were living there.
Jeez.
And the small businesses and, like, you know, little food places and
That needed things it most. Like that.
So yeah, that was, if you ever watched that movie,
it's like, yeah, cool.
It's a very good scene.
Yeah.
Nice. We'll get onto it.
Yeah. I don't have any more questions for you guys. I think we've had a lot of good discussions.
Yeah.
So what are some things, so you guys have your website, mothernatureisababe.com, which you have a blog, so obviously you have loads of tips. I follow your guys' Instagram and I fucking love it because, like, even when you do, I remember you did the one where you were in Palma and you went shopping.
Yeah.
And you, like, were talking about bringing your bag and, like, why you buy certain things that are in season because that's better and better for you probably.
Yeah.
And only buying quantities that you need. Like, it's very... It was, like, fun to watch your story through the whole market.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah. I remember once I bought a pumpkin and half a piece was wrapped in plastic and I didn't want to use the plastic, so I had to buy a whole pumpkin. So I was like, I can't just eating pumpkin for the next week.
But yeah, so people that are listening, go follow them on Instagram because their stories are fantastic. Have loads of, like, little like, quick tips, which is, like little... bite-sized doses, and then you have the blog, obviously, where people can read, and then you have products that people can buy. So, like, what are some things that you guys have in the store that people can buy?
Well, actually, yesterday we just added four new products to the store, so we're slowly growing it, which is always fun and exciting. What have we got?
So we have bamboo toothbrushes, bamboo cutlery sets, bamboo hair brushes, bamboo combs, bamboo straws. Everything's bamboo. No. We also have t-shirts with our little logos on them. Guys and girls t-shirts.
What's free the nip?
Oh, yeah. So I don't know if you know about the free the nip movement. It's because men are allowed to show their nipples on social media, but women aren't. Oh,
right. Yeah.
And so there was this whole movement, like, free the nip, and then there'd be photos of girls with just a little thing covering their nipple.
But yeah, the t-shirts are made of sustainable cotton, which is cool.
And then we have market bags that we added yesterday for.
Oh, I know! I'm so excited about those.
I'm excited about them too.
Stainless steel clothes pegs.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited about them too. Clothes pegs.
What are those?
So you know how most clothes pegs for when you hang up your washing. I suppose not so much in England because you don't hang it up so much. You use a dryer. But in Australia, hanging up your washing.
Oh, are you talking about, like, the clothespins?
Yeah.
The clippy things.
Yeah.
Okay. In America, we call them clothespins. So I was like, what is? I'm thinking like a peg you put in the wall or something.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So we've got stainless steel ones. So no plastic.
Okay.
Nice.
And they're super durable. We got the best quality ones we could, so they don't rust.
Yeah, I know that's definitely big in Europe as well, because, like, living in Croatia and stuff, like, you just hang all of your washing on string.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they're the most recent things.
And then over the next 2 months, we're going on a bit of a sourcing tour around Bali, trying to find some more sustainable products that we can add to the store. So.
I want yoga mats.
Okay, yeah.
I love your yoga mat, Denise. Yeah. And I know I sent you a message being like, when can I buy this?
I know. I've had a couple of messages for the people listening. We were playing around with the idea of doing yoga mats, but we've kind of put them on hold for right now.
Because it's quite hard to find someone to make them in an eco-friendly way. So there's a lot more research going into that before we...
We have found someone that makes them with plastic bottles.
Recycled plastic bottles.
Yeah, which is really cool. And I also want to get some of my own artwork on there. Because now...
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. They will come.
I'll be patient.
But yeah, if anyone has any ideas for us, what kind of products they'd like, we're thinking of doing like some water bottles, some, you know, keep cups, cleaning brush sets and things like that.
And another thing which I think is quite interesting that you guys have that people wouldn't even realize is harmful is you guys have eco-friendly glitter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a friend of ours that makes it, and we sell it in our store.
Yeah, it's like a collab thing.
Yeah, if anyone wants to check out, she's called A Beautiful Weirdo on Instagram, and yeah, so she does eco-friendly glitter.
Yeah, so it's not plastic; it's made from eucalyptus, so it breaks down after 6 weeks.
Yeah,
yeah, because glitter stays around forever. Like,
yeah, so it's great for festivals, great for children. And,
yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So we sell that on our site as well, all different colors.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And then you guys gave us a code, a discount code.
Oh,
yeah, we did.
So CWB listener,
yes,
is the discount code.
And listener, listeners. Yeah.
I'm only just finding out for this for the first time, so I'll make sure that we activate that on the website.
Well, you have until Tuesday when the episode comes out.
Janice just shot me a look as if to say, whoops, I forgot to tell you about that one.
Yeah, I think it's, CWB listener or listeners, and I think listener, it's for 10% off across the whole store. So.
Yeah, sweet. Nice. I'll get that active. Yeah.
I'm going to order some stuff. But do you do international shipping, I assume?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Definitely do, nice. And we, as I said before, we carbon offset all of our emissions, and
awesome.
All of our products are shipped in eco-friendly mailers,
home compostable
so, mailing bags with no plastic. All of the shipping labels that go on the bags are compostable as well, and we don't use any plastic in our packaging at all. So yeah, that's really cool.
All of our packaging is all recycled materials.
So. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
great.
So we definitely ship anywhere in the world, and yeah.
When I get settled in Georgia, I'll be and I have an address. I'm gonna order some stuff because there's some cool products on here.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Thanks for your support.
And then because I know you like this game so much,
Janice. Yay! I was gonna ask if we were doing a game.
We're gonna do Live Visit Flea again. Because we have Nick around this time as well. So you guys can give separate answers. You don't have to.
You don't have to come to a consensus. Go the same.
Yeah.
Live physically.
Do you want to go first, Kate?
Yeah. So wait, basically the rules is like we'll give you three places, and you pick one, like which place that you would choose to live in, which place you would choose just to visit, and what place you would have to choose to never go again. So I'll go first just because I know that you guys have lived in all three of these. I'm pretty sure. If my knowledge over the last 10 years of your guys' travels is accurate.
Yeah.
So we've got Palma, Spain.
Yep.
Whistler, Canada.
Yep.
And is it Niseko, Japan?
Niseko, Japan, yeah. We lived there for 6 months, did a ski season. Oh, yep. It is
so
the
those
bomb.
Are my three places.
Yeah.
So you have to choose one to visit, one to live, and one to flee, never visit again.
Oh, okay.
Both of us?
Yeah, well, you could do separately, like separate answers.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'd have to flee Whistler.
What?
Well, because...
Because
I don't know if I...
Mentioned. Oh, I remember.
Last episode.
Janice has been deported from Canada twice.
You're not welcome there anymore.
She was deported last year as well. So
wait, actually, no, if I could live there, then I'd put that as my live.
Really?
Yeah, because like I can't.
You can't go back.
If I couldn't get in any other way, then I'd just live there. I wouldn't go anywhere else. I promise. Yeah. Visit Palma.
Okay, so flee Whistler.
I feel like because.
Yep. That makes sense.
And then
you're gonna live in Niseko.
That means you live in Japan.
Oh yeah, I'd visit Japan, but I love Niseko. I love Japan.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then you'd live in Palma.
No, I'd live in... if I could live in Whistler, I'd live in Whistler.
Okay.
Visit Niseko.
Flee.
Oh. Oh, no.
Hey, you're not going well here.
Okay, that's why I chose these three.
I would probably... Wow, this is a tough one. I'd probably live in Whistler because I love the lifestyle there. And then... I think I would probably flee Niseko, even though I love, love, love it. But that's because I love Palma as well. So I'd visit Palma.
Yeah.
But then also, if you've got Palma and then Whistler, then like you have one hot, one cold.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So Yeah.
Even though disclaimer, I really do love Niseko.
Well, that's what makes it so hard. It's like when you do, like, what is it, kill Shag Mary or whatever?
Like, and you Shag's a very diplomatic way of saying it.
But, like, you always pick either three that are, like, that you hate all three of them, so then it's, like, hard to pick one that you would... Or you pick three that are all great, because it's hard to pick one that you'd kill. What about you, Chris?
Well, shit, I was going to do, like, three that are fun, and, like, you might have a hard time choosing, but now I'm thinking I might do three that you'll hate. And see what you decide. So let's go with Saudi Arabia, Brunei, and let's say Russia. That doesn't sound so bad.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know mine. I would live in Russia just because I've not been to Russia yet. So it would be an experience. I would visit Brunei because I have visited Brunei before, and I feel like I would rather not go to Saudi Arabia. Yeah,
flee Saudi.
I would rather flee Saudi than Brunei. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. My answers would be the same. Only because, not that I love Brunei or would ever go there, but I could probably go and just hide in the jungle and.
Yeah. I needed a third awful one because Russia. It has its issues, but it doesn't really compare to those two.
Yeah. It does have issues as well around gay rights. And,
yeah, but in they particular. Got
fucked. Yeah.
And some pretty amazing landscapes there too.
Yeah. I'd still like to visit Russia. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. We got a consensus.
Yeah. Do you guys have any you can think of on the spot that you want to throw out?
Oh.
Well, to you guys.
Oh, I've probably got one.
All right, Caitlin.
Caitlin is definitely.
sorry, Chris. Probably because we know Caitlin.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, Caitlin, you've got London, San Luis Obispo, or
Melbourne.
Oh, that's hard. Shit. Okay, I guess I would live London. Because I've been trying to fucking move back here for 12 years, and now that I finally do live here, I'm not letting that go. Visit San Luis Obispo because of it's a different scenery than being in the city, and it's California. It's beautiful, and then I'd flee Melbourne. But I love Melbourne.
I do love
it there, but I would flee it over the other two.
I love slow.
Yeah.
I live in
So Chris has actually been there as well. So all three of you have come to visit me in Slough.
Slough's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I'm fleeing Melbourne just because I'm from New South Wales. Even my dad came.
Yeah, of course.
My dad came to visit you in Slough as well.
Did he?
Yeah, we went and made ice cream sandwiches and we played shuffleboard and we went wine tasting. Wait. And shout out to Mark if he's listening. Mark threw up on the way to the wine tasting.
I remember this now.
Janice's dad's sitting there looking at me like, what is going on?
Oh yeah, that was the first time my dad met Bruce.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Who are you and what have you done with my daughter?
Who are these friends of yours?
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the episode.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been a pleasure.
We will post all of the contact details and where you guys can find Mother Nature is a Babe in the description of the podcast, so it's easy to click on and access. And we'll put a couple links to the carbon emission offsetting websites as well.
So people can
find those.
Yeah.
And... feel free to reach out to Mother Nature's a Babe if you guys have more questions, because they'll be a lot more educated.
We love feedback. we love anything, any form of interaction.
We're
very social people.
That's about it. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, and we will
see you next Tuesday.
Yay! Thanks, guys.